सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्परां सद्गुरुचरणारविन्दाभ्यां नमः. Am I audible?
Yes, Mama.
Yes, yes.
Yes, Mama.
Okay. Shloka 6. Chichaya aveshato buddhau bhanam dhistu dvidhasthitam eka hankritiranyasyat antakkarana rupinim chaya hankarayo raikyam taptaya pinda vanmatam तदहंकारतादात्म्यात् देहश्चेतनमागता आगात अहंकारस्य तादात्म्यं चिच्छाया देहसाक्षिभिः सहजं कर्मजं भ्रांतिजन्यं च त्रिविधं क्रमात्. वि सा अप टु दि एइथ श्लोका इन दि लास्ट क्लास. जस्ट टू रिफ्रेश the slokas so far. In the first five slokas, the author introduced three seers and three seen, Drik and Drishya. Sakshi is the seer, mind is the seen. Then mind is the seer, sense organs are the seen. And Sargan, sense organs is the seer and the external world is the seen. So of these three, Sakshi being only a seer is called the absolute seer. Since the mind is the seen from Sakshi angle and the seer from the sense angle, sense organ angle, it is called a relative seer. And sense organs also is the seen from the mind angle and the seer from the external world angle. So it is also a relative seer. So every individual consists of these three seers, one absolute seer and two relative seers. And when the individual uses the word I, then it can refer to any one of these three depending upon the context. As far as lay people are concerned, they do not know the Sakshi by itself, and therefore they generally use the word I for the relative seer only. Whereas when the wise people say Aham Brahma Asmi, they are referring to the absolute seer. Aham there refers to the absolute seer. Thus, the word I can refer to any one of the seers, and these three seers cannot be physically separated, and it requires a probing inquiry. Only with the help of an inquiry supported by Shastram, most important, we come to know these three seers. And having introduced the three seers in the first five shlokas, the author is talking about the formation and function of these three seers from shlokas 6 to 12. Sakshi, the original seer, need not be formed because the Sakshi ever is. The Sakshi's function is unique. It does not function willfully in the form of an action. Sakshi functions by its mere presence. We said all this, I'm just only paraphrasing them. That function is blessing the mind with reflected consciousness. What is the action of Sakshi, the function? By its mere presence, it blesses the mind with reflected consciousness. Pradibimba Chaitanyam, this is that blessing the mind with Chidabhasa, that is the reflected consciousness, is a function of Sakshi without doing anything. When I stand, for example, in front of a mirror, I lend my reflection to the mirror. This lending is not a will-based, thoughtful, or deliberate action. Just in my mere presence, the reflection is formed in the mirror. The mirror has the capacity to receive the reflection. Objects that do not have this capacity cannot form any reflection, not because of any will or my part. And similarly, the function of the Sakshi is to lend the reflection of consciousness to the mind. This is not an event in time. The mind with the reflected consciousness becomes a seer. Without the Chidabhasa, Chidabhasa means the reflected consciousness. The mind can never be the seer, similar to the moon never being an illuminator without the sunlight. We gave the example in the last class. So with the lending function of the Sakshi, Sakshi Chaitanyam, the seer mind is formed. The seer mind is formed. Mind is already there. When it functions as a seer, the seer mind is formed with the lending function of the Sakshi. It should be noted then that this is not an event happening in time. Once the seer mind is formed with borrowed consciousness from the Chaitanyam, mind chooses to bless the sense organs, including the Golakam, the physical body, with Chidabhasa. I think you are familiar with the term Golakam. For example, if you take the eyeball is the Golakam, and the power behind seeing, the sight, that is Indriyam. So Golakam and Indriyam. Same thing with the hearing faculty. The ear lobes are the Golakam and the power of hearing is the Indriyam. So the whole physical body is the Golakam for the sense organs. With the blessing of mind, the sense organs become another relative seer. So the formed seer sense organs start sensing sound, touch, forms, colors, taste, and smell, and all these forms our experience in the waking state. In the waking state, all these things contribute to our experience. The moment we wake up, transactions start due to the three seers. Even though not necessary for the flow of discussion, the author then talks about the relationship of mind with the body, the Chidabhasa, and Chit or Sakshi. Mind with the body, the Chidabhasa, this reflected consciousness, and Chit or the Sakshi. He is talking about the relationship among them. So the mind-body relationship is maintained by what? Maintained by karma, especially the prarabdha karma. And ends when the prarabdha karma is exhausted. For example, in this janma happened because of our prarabdha karma. And this ends when the prarabdha karma is exhausted. Then the mind quits the body at that time and does not bless the body. When we say body, the grass sarinam, the grass body. And does not bless the body with Chidabhasa anymore, resulting in the death of the grass body, the sthula shariram. The mind Chidabhasa relationship, Chidabhasa, when I say, you should understand it is reflected consciousness. The mind Chidabhasa relationship is eternally present because wherever the mind goes, Sakshi is present. Why? Sakshi is all-pervading. So wherever the mind goes, Sakshi is present, and Sakshi, by its mere presence, will bless the mind with reflected consciousness. This we said yesterday. By its mere presence, it is not an action. Chidabhasa-free mind never exists. A mind without reflected consciousness never exists. Even during the dissolution of the universe, when the mind is in potential form, the Chidabhasa will be present in potential form also. Because why? Chaitanyam is present all the time, even during dissolution. The mind-sakshi relationship is non-existent. Mind-Chidabhasa relationship exists, but mind-sakshi relationship is non-existent. The relationship between the mind and the Chidabhasa is possible because both belong to the empirical reality. Mind belongs to empirical reality. Chidabhasa belongs to empirical reality. Whereas the Sakshi belongs to the absolute reality, the higher order of reality. The mind and the Chit or Sakshi belongs to two different orders of reality. Mind belongs to empirical reality, as I said, or it is called Mithya. The Vastu belonging to the lower order of reality, empirical reality, is called Mithya. It is not untrue, but it belongs to a lower order of reality. But Sakshi belongs to the higher order of reality, the absolute reality, or we call it Satyam. In Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam, Brahma, when we call it Satyam, it belongs to the higher order of reality. So even though no relationship is possible between mind and Sakshi, a relative relationship is made out of what? Of our confusion or ignorance. This is called adhyasa. In In Vedanta, we call it Adhyasa. Shankaracharya, in his Adhyasa Bhashya, in his introduction to Brahma Sutra, he discusses Adhyasa using the example of rope snake. You can refer to our Brahma Sutra lectures where we dealt with Adhyasa Bhashyam of Adi Shankaracharya very elaborately. And he uses the example of rope and snake. When someone says, this is a snake, on looking at a rope in dim light, this is refers to rope, and the snake refers to something not there or which is false. And he says, this is that isness, something is present, that refers to the rope. When there is no snake, and the word snake refers to something not there, and so it is false. So the real rope and a false snake can never have any connection. Real rope and false snake can never have any connection. The real and the unreal can never have any connection, but we still make the statement in which the real and the unreal are mixed up. It is because of our ignorance, adhyasa, delusion, all that. Mixing the non-mixable is confusion. We call it confusion. Similarly, the I, when I say I, the capital I, referring to the real I, the absolute truth, and the mind and the sense organs, they belong to the empirical truth, should never be connected. But I make that connection and say, I am born, I am growing old, all that I am saying. Thus, the connection between the mind and the sakshi is based on adhyasa, superposition. This connection based on confusion, superposition, will continue as long as the confusion continues. And the moment the confusion goes away, the absolute seer will be identified with, and the non-connection with the relative seers, namely the mind and sense organs, will be understood. Once I can identify the absolute seer in me, then the non-connection with the relative seers, and like the mind and the sense organs, that will be understood clearly. Thus the jnani, by this understanding, can say that he does not have likes, he does not have dislikes, he doesn't have pride, jealousy, and all those things, and can claim that he is the limitless consciousness. When mind is thus disconnected, it does not give problems anymore. Once the mind is connected with the capital I, then it gives all problems. Once it is disconnected, no problems. Only when the connection with the mind is created, the mind gives problems. And that problem is called what? Samsara. So the author is going to discuss in details about samsara later. We will see it then. So shlokas 8 and 9 are the seed or foundation shlokas for that discussion. So we saw up to shloka number 8. This is the summary up to that last class. Now we saw shloka number 8 in the last class, namely, ahankarasya tadatmyam chichaya deha sakshibihi sahajam karmajam bhranti janyanja trividham kramat. So ahankarasya tadatmyam. First line. Ahankarasya, ahankara refers to the ego. The identification of ego, chichaya deha sakshibihi kramat trividam. Chichaya deha sakshibihi in the first line, and trividam kramat, the last two words of this same shloka. So we have to connect it like that. Chichaya deha sakshibihi kramat trividam. Kramat trividam, they are of three kinds. Trividam, with the reflected consciousness, body and sakshi respectively. Sahajam, karmajam, bhranti janyam. Sahajam is natural. Karmajam means due to past karma. And bhranti here refers to ignorance, due to ignorance. But we never remain as sakshi and look at the mind and objectively, but we can get involved with the mind, and the conditions of the mind become our conditions and make our lives miserable, whereas that misery actually belongs to the mind only, not to me. We get involved with the mind And the conditions of the mind become our conditions. And our means understand clearly the absolute seer. So we never remain as Sakshi, as the Chaitanyam, but we look at the mind objectively, but we get involved with the mind and the conditions of the mind become our conditions and make our lives miserable. Whereas that misery actually belongs to the mind only. The mind reflected consciousness connection is natural. The mind-body connection is due to karma. And the mind-sakshi, the self, the Chaitanyam connection is due to delusion or superposition, whatever one can call it. This is what we saw in the last class. Now let us go to the next shloka, shloka 9. Let us read. Sambandhino sator nasti nivritti sahajasyatu karma kshayat prabodhaccha nivartete kramadhube kramadhube. Now here question is, why should we know the nature of all these three relationships that I just said? Here the author says that we have to learn this nature of this relationship because that knowledge gives an appropriate attitude towards them. With the appropriate attitude, then we can handle these relationships without getting affected. Greater understanding leads to better handling of these relationships. Knowledge is power because knowledge gives confidence to handle things properly. That's why we say the word is knowledge is power. We use it. We can never separate the bonding between Chidabhasa, the reflected consciousness, and the mind. We can never separate that bonding, which is natural. The bonding between them lasts as long as I exist. They exist. I should not say I exist. They exist. The Chidabhasa and mind. The relationship is not eternal because in Videha Mukti, the mind gets destroyed and the relationship comes to an end in Videha Mukti. After death, when a person attains Mukti, the mind gets destroyed and the relationship comes to an end. Since the mind-body connection is due to karma, that relationship will continue as long as prarabdha karma continues, as long as this life. With this sthula shariram, it will continue as long as that is there. Death will not happen as long as prarabdha lasts. As long as prarabdha lasts, death will not happen. Prarabdha karma controls both the doer aspect and experiencer aspect of an individual. Prarabdha karma controls both the doer aspect, ahankarta aspect, and the experiencer aspect. I am aham bhokta. Both of them is controlled by prarabdha karma. Even after a person becomes unable to contribute to life, he may still live because there are experiences that he has to undergo still due to prarabdha karma. Understanding this, we can have a proper attitude towards life. Even self-knowledge cannot remove the connection between the body and mind. Even self-knowledge, even after you become a jnani, it cannot remove the connection between the body and mind. Knowledge gives a new perspective, though, to this truth, so that our emotional reaction to the pain, sorrow, they all come down. Knowledge can do that much, but it cannot remove the connection between the body and mind. Pain is caused by prarabdha karma. But sorrow is caused by what? Ignorance. Pain is caused by prarabdha karma. Dukkham, sorrow, is caused by ignorance. Actually, Krishna describes a sthita prajna in the Bhagavad Gita. And he says, Dukkeshu anudvignam anaha sukeshu vikadas prahaham Vitaragabaya krodaha sitadhir muni ruchyate. 56th shloka. The one who is not affected by all adversities, any adversity for that matter, who is without yearning for pleasures, dukeshu anuvignamaha, the first two, who is not affected by any adversities, any sorrow, sukeshu vigidaspriha, without yearning for pleasures and all that, and is free from longing, Vita raga bhaya krodaha, that is fear, anger, and all of them, free from all of them, he is said to be sthitadihi, a wise person whose knowledge stays unshaken. Munihi uchyate, a wise person, munihi and sthitadihi, with a knowledge that is unshaken knowledge. So the bondage between sakshi and the mind will go with the knowledge that the mind and sakshi had never had any connection. The bond between sakshi and the mind will go, not reflected consciousness, understand. The bond between the absolute consciousness, sakshi, and the mind will go with the knowledge that the mind and the sakshi had never had any connection. Will go away. The mind cannot touch the sakshi. Actually, Krishna describes the sakshi in the Bhagavad Gita also again. Achedyo yamada kyohem akledyo shoshya evacham nitya sarvagata sthanuhu achaloyam sanatanaha. So this self, this sakshi, it cannot be slain, it cannot be burnt, it cannot be drowned or dried. It is changeless, nityaha, sarvagataha, it is all pervading, sthanuhu, it is stable, achaloyam, it is immovable, and sanatanaha, it is eternal. So the discrimination between the atma and the mind, that should happen. First level of understanding is what? The discrimination between atma and the mind. Even though the light and the hand are intimately together, when I hold my hand out, the light falls on the hand. They are intimately connected together. Whatever the conditions of the hand, those conditions cannot affect the light. I can open the hand, I can close the hand, I can move the hand, but the light remains as is. If the hand moves, the light does not move. If the hand gets dirty, the light does not get dirty. Similarly, whatever happens to the mind cannot touch the sakshi, the chaitanya. Now let us look at the verse now. Sambandhinaha sator nasti nivrittihi sagajasyato karmakshayat prabodachya nivartete kramad ube. Sambandhinoho. Sambandhinoho means the mutual identifications. The sambandha of between what? Of the ego and the reflected consciousness, which is sahajasya, which is natural. The mutual identification of the ego and reflected consciousness is natural. And tadatmyasya we can include because of the identification. Tu nivrittihi nasti satoho, does not cease so long as they are taken as real. Asti satoho. If you are taken this real, does not cease, no nivritti for them, so long as they are taken as real. Ube. The other two identifications. What are the other two identifications? The identification of the ego with the body and the sakshi nivartate, disappear. Identification of the ego with the body and the sakshi chaitanyam nivartate, disappear. Karmakshayat, when? With the wearing away of the results of karma, prarabdha karma. And prabodachya, enlightenment, during time of enlightenment, jnanam, kramat respectively, in that order. So once the results of karma goes away, when the enlightenment of jnanam comes, they go away. It wears away, disappear. So the mutual identification of the ego and reflected consciousness, which is natural, does not cease so long as they are taken to be real. Whereas the other two identifications, namely the identification of the ego with the body and the sakshi, they disappear after varying out of the result of karma and the attainment of the knowledge of the higher reality respectively. Between higher reality and lower reality, you should understand, higher reality refers to the absolute chaitanyam and lower reality refers to all these relative chaitanyam. This reflected consciousness, Chidabhasa, plus the mind and the sense organs and all that. So Krishna consists, so before jnanam and after jnanam. Krishna consists of, actually the knowledge here that we talk about consists of two parts that we already mentioned. First, we have to separate the mind and the consciousness. Consciousness is Chaitanya. I have to separate the mind and the consciousness. And after separation, I should learn through Nididhyasanam that I am the Sakshi and the mind is only a temporary medium which is enlivened by me, the Chaitanyam. I should learn through Nididhyasanam. Through Shravanam, I might have heard that. Through Mananam, we should remove all the doubts regarding that. And through Nididhyasanam, I should even remove all the habitual tendencies and I should own up the fact I am the Sakshi and the mind is only a temporary medium which is enlivened by me, the Sakshi, the Chaitanya. So the existence, the operation and even destruction of mind cannot disturb me, the Chaitanya. Even if mind is destroyed, we mentioned about Manonasha yesterday. So in sleep, the mind is resolved and transactions, they all end. But I know that I exist in sleep. How do I know whether I exist in sleep? When I got up tomorrow morning, I said I had a nice sleep or I had some dream. So that means I am aware of the sleep state also. The mind and the transactions may end, but I exist all the time. So this Sakshi Mano Viveka, Sakshi Mano Viveka, and the identification with the Sakshi is self-knowledge. Actually, this is what the knowledge has to be. Sakshi Mano Viveka, the difference between the Sakshi Chaitanyam and Manas. And the identification of the Sakshi, that is called self-knowledge. I identify myself with the Sakshi Chaitanyam. That is self-knowledge. In Dakshinamurti Stotram, this identification is described very nicely. Vishwam darpana drishyamana nagari tulyam nijantargatam pashyannatmani mayaya bahirivot bhutam yatha nidraya yas sakshat kurute prabodha samaye swatmanameva dvayam tasmai shri guru murtaye namayidam Sri Dakshina Murtaye, yes sakshat krute prabodha samaye swatmanameva dvayam. The identity of Brahman and Atma is apparent after self-illumination, prabodha samaye. With this knowledge, the relationship between the mind and Sakshi is removed. Once a person wants of this knowledge, with this, the relationship between mind and Sakshi Chaitanyam is completely removed. And removal of relationship means what? Knowing that there is no relationship. Removal of relationship here means knowing that there is no relationship between the mind and the Sakshi, the Chaitanya. Now let us go to the shloka 10. Ahankaralaye suptau pavedehopya chetanaha ahankaravika sardaha ahankara vikasa ardaha swapna sarvastu jagaraha. Now the author talks about the function of seer to the mind in a little more detail. The mind has three states of experience. They are called avasthatrayam. We should be familiar with all these words because we have been talking about all these years. So when the mind is totally passive, it is in sushupti avastha. When the mind is totally passive, it is in sushupti avastha. And when the mind is partially active, meaning that the mind does not use the sense organs, it is called swapna avastha. And in this state, based on past experiences, the mind projects an inner world called the dream world, for which the sense organs are not required. In the dream world, you are seeing things using the dream eye, not your real eye. You taste things using your dream tongue. The mind is active enough to project an inner world, but not active enough to make use of the actual sense organs. And in this state, the mind does not contact the external world at all in this dream state. The dream world has sufficient reality to disturb the mind though. The mind is partially active with the vasana part of the mind. There are a lot of vasanas in the mind. It is partly active because of that. So when the mind becomes fully operational and active using the sense organs, then the seer two, namely the mind, taking the support of seer one, the sense organs, the mind does not experience the internal world, but it experiences the external world. During dream, the mind experiences the inner world. Then what it does? At the time when the mind becomes fully operational, when it is awake and active, using the sense organs, the seer to the mind, taking the support of seer one sense organs, the mind does not experience the internal world anymore, but it experiences the external world. When the mind is fully active, that state is called Jagrat Avastha. The mind has this avastha trayam, and therefore it is called that the Sakshi does not have avastha trayam. Sakshi means the Chaitanya. In Sushupti Avastha, in deep sleep state, the mind is fully resolved. In Swapna Avastha, in dream state, the mind is partially active with the vasanas operating. Waking, dream, and deep sleep, they continue in a cyclic manner. Death is only a relatively longer sleep because the mind goes into a passive state during that time. Death is only a relatively longer sleep because the mind goes into a passive state during that time. The mind exists in death. Should not forget, mind belongs to Sukshma Shariram. It exists. Only the Stula Shariram dies at the time of death. Then can the mind dream after death? That's a good question. Because mind exists, can it dream after death? No. Why? Because the mind requires a body for dreaming. You need a medium, a body to dream. Only in the body, waking and dream states are possible. Only in the body, waking state and dream states are possible only in the body. During the dissolution of the universe, the mind continues to exist in a deep sleep-like state. Deep sleep-like state, be careful. Deep sleep-like state called the causal state. Among the state is called a causal state. It's a Karana Shariram state, causal state. And in the next creation, the mind takes birth with all its karmas, vasanas, everything together. Sukshma Shariram, that bundle. So this cycle will go on and will end only at the time of Videha Mukti, when the individual mind merges into the total mind. When the mind goes to sleep, the body cannot borrow consciousness fully from the mind, and the body becomes as though dead. When the mind goes to sleep, the body cannot borrow consciousness fully from the mind, and the body becomes as though dead. When the mind is actively present, the body is alive. When the mind is absent, body is dead. So when the mind is passively present, the body is as though dead, as I mentioned again. This we got to understand clearly. The body is not aware of its condition in that state. Body is not aware of its condition at that state when the mind is passively present. So the function of the mind is explained here, which is that the mind goes through three states of experiences. The function of the sense organ also has been described, which is assisting the mind during the waking state. I hope you are clear. The function of the mind is explained, which is that the mind goes through three states of experience, Jagrat, Supna, and Sushupti. The function of the sense organs also has been explained, which is assisting the mind during the waking state. Dream state, it is not assisting. Dream state, in the dream, you have dream ears, dream eyes, and dream touch, dream taste, and all that. The function of the body is assisting the mind during the waking state. Function of the body is assisting the mind during the waking state. So the function of the Sakshi, the Chaitanyam, the mind, the sense organs, the body, and three states, the whole individual has been explained. All these things comprise the whole individual. What are those? The Sakshi, the mind, the sense organs, the body, and the three states, avasthas. The whole individual is explained by all this. So the mechanism of life has been then explained. That's what we said, that these shlokas are going to talk about the mechanism of life and all those various factors. So the mechanism of life has been fully explained, and any experience that an individual has can be explained by this paradigm. So the entire phenomenon of life and death can thus be explained very well. It is a very beautiful paradigm that is very comprehensive also. That is why these two shlokas, 8 and 9, they nicely summarize. So now we went to the 10th shloka. The 10th shloka is what we are now reading. We just now read this. So it has completely identified all that after we discussed the 8th and 9th shloka. So what is this shloka, 10th shloka? Ahankara laye suptav bhave dehopya chetanaha ahankara vikasardaha swapnaha sarvastu jagaraha. Suptav. Suptav means in deep sleep, sushupti. Ahankara laye. When the thought of the ego, ahankara, disappears, laye, when disappears, dehaha api achetanaha bhavet. The body also becomes achetanaha, unconscious. Ahankara vikasardaha swapnaha bhavati. We have to add the word bhavati. So ahankara vikasardaha swapnaha bhavati. Half manifestation, vikasa ardaha, ardaha means half identification, half manifestation of ego is dream. It's not full. In the dream state, half manifestation of ego is dream. Tu sarva jagaraha, jagaraha bhavati again, we have to add, the full manifestation is waking state. Half manifestation is dream state, full waking manifestation is waking state. The body also becomes unconsciousness. Deha api achetanaha bhavati when ahankara laye, when the thought of ego disappears, when in deep sleep state. Let us go to shloka number 11. Antakarana vrittischa chitischayai aikyamagatam chitischayai aikyamagatam vasana kalpayet swapne bodeksha bodekshair vishayan bahihim. Here the author he comes to another part of the system that he has left out earlier. That is, a particular aspect of the system was introduced earlier but has not been discussed, and this is based on the 6th shloka. What is the 6th shloka that we did in the last class? Chichaya aveshato buddhav panam distu dvidasthitam eka hankriti ranyasyat antakarana rupini. And in this shloka, what was said? It was said the mind has got two parts. Yesterday, if you remember, mind has got two parts. One is the material part. We call it the dravya amsha, manodravyam. And the other is the third part, the vritti amsa. So one is dravya amsa, another is vritti amsa. It is similar to the lake, for example, and the waves that we said also yesterday. Waves are part of the lake, but they are as though separate because the waves rise and fall. And here, the author really has not talked about the vritti part so far. What is the job of the thought vritti? Thoughts, being part of the mind, are inert by themselves. Thoughts are inert by themselves because as part of the mind, and it is subject also to the three gunas. Sattva guna, rajo guna, tamo guna, and all that. So the thoughts do not have any power to illumine any object by themselves. The thoughts, mind only gets the reflected consciousness, only mind is associated with that, but the thoughts not. So thoughts do not have any power to illumine any object by themselves. So thoughts get the power when they borrow consciousness from the sakshi, just as the mind borrows reflected consciousness. Same thing. Just like the lake has the reflected sunlight, the waves also have the reflected sunlight. Both the mind and the thoughts have the capacity to borrow consciousness directly from the sakshi. Mind and the thoughts. Every thought has reflected consciousness. So mind has reflected consciousness. Thoughts have reflected consciousness. This thought plus reflected consciousness alone is called cognition or knowledge. This thought, not just the mind, not the amsha part, the thought part, the thought plus the vritti part. And the reflected consciousness alone is called cognition or knowledge or experience. Every experience or knowledge, cognition, or memory, they require not just the mind, but the thought also. It is called vritti jnana. It is called vritti jnana. thought plus reflected consciousness. So vrittijnanam determines the quality of life and thus plays an important role, which the author explains in this particular shloka. Vrittijnanam determines the quality of life, and so it plays an important role. So first the author points out that the thought part is also inert by itself. Thought part, it's all very difficult for us to just comprehend. Inert we say for a material, for a thought where is inert. So the author says the thought part is also inert by itself because thoughts are parts of the mind. And the mind is a product of the five elements which are inert. This is the logic. Thought is part of the mind, and mind is a product of five elements which are all inert. Moon does not shine by itself, but becomes luminous by borrowing sunlight. Similarly, the thoughts have the power to borrow consciousness directly from the Sakshi Chaitanya. The borrowed consciousness is called Chidabhasa. So this term we are familiar, Chidabhasa. So the Sakshi simultaneously illumines the mind and the thoughts. So the Dravyamsha and the Vrittiyamsha of the mind, both are simultaneously illumined by the Sakshi Chaitanya. So the Sakshi simultaneously forms the reflection in the mind and in the thoughts, both. And as even the thought arises, it arises with Chidabhasa only, reflected consciousness. So every rising thought is called Vrittijnanam. Every rising thought is called Vrittijnanam. Vrittijnanam is actually a technical term. It is given to every thought that is born along with the reflected consciousness. Every sentient thought is called a cognition or an experience. Experience is not the name of the pure thought or the pure consciousness, but it is the name of the mixture of thought plus reflected consciousness. These are all subtle differences we should understand clearly. Experience is not the name of the pure thought, vritti itself, or the pure consciousness, chaitanyam, but it is the name of the mixture of thought plus the reflected consciousness. As even the thought arises, it forms the reflection of consciousness, and this thought along the reflected consciousness, we call it as experience. Thought with the reflected consciousness, we call it experience. And when you experience anything, the relevant thought arises and the reflected consciousness is formed in the thought and the experience is known to us. When you experience anything, what happens? The relevant thought arises and the reflected consciousness is formed in the thought and the experience is known. So the author now discusses the function of this thought or cognition. He is now talking about the function of this thought or the cognition. So in deep sleep state, what happens? The thoughts are minimal, almost even zero. And therefore, there are no experiences in that state. There is total blankness in deep sleep state. And we say that thoughts are minimal, but we say they be minimal only, but it is not zero. Because there is a very subtle thought present in deep sleep also. In deep sleep, the thoughts are minimal, but it is not zero because there is a very subtle thought present in deep sleep also. The very blankness of deep sleep state is an experience. Absence of experience is also an experience that we seldom, many times we discount it. We don't understand that. The very blankness of deep sleep state is an experience also. Absence of experience is also an experience. For example, when it is said that there is no book in the hand, the absence of the book is experienced. When we say there is no book in my hand, the absence of the book is experienced. This experience can be recollected later, which means that the experience of the absence of the book also required a thought. The experience of the absence of the book also required a thought. So the absence of experience in deep sleep has to be registered in the form of an experience. And therefore, it requires everything, a thought. Absence of experience in deep sleep has to be registered in the form of experience. And therefore, it requires everything. And that vritti is called avidya vritti. It's called avidya vritti or karana sharira vritti or nidra vritti. There are so many words by which it can be described. So in deep sleep, the thoughts are minimal, but not totally absent, as I said earlier. There is a thought registering the blankness. As seen in, actually in Dakshinamurti Stotram again, the waker is able to recollect the experience of the absence of experience in deep sleep. The waker is able to recollect the experience of what? The absence of experience in deep sleep. Rahu grastha divakarendu sadrishaha maya samachadanate sanmatra karanopasamkaranataha sobutsushupta pumane pragasvapsamiti prabodha samaye yapratyabhijnayate tasmai shri guru murtaye namayidam shri dakshina murtaye. That vritti registering the absence in the deep sleep state. So in dream state, thoughts are generated from our past experience registered in memory in the vasanas. Out of the activated vasanas, a subjective universe is projected in dream. And these vasanas are registered in the memory in the waking state. Some more recently also. And some in the distant past, including previous births and even creations. Even previous creations. So thus the dream experience is created by the thought part of the mind. In the waking state, the thoughts go out through the sense organs like the light beam from a flashlight and illumine the external world. In the waking state, the thoughts go out through the sense organs like the flashlight, the light beam out of a flashlight and illumines the external world. The mind material, the dravya amsha of the mind, mind material, is the light source. And the vritti, the thoughts, is the light beam. This analogy we gave yesterday. So from such vrittis come out through the sense organs, they are noted actually in Dakshinamurti Stotra. We saw that these vrittis are 5 in number. 5 such vrittis come out through the sense organs. Nana chitra gadodara sthita maha deepa prabhabhaswaram jnanam yasya tu chakshuradikarana dvara bahispandate janamiti tameva bandham anubhate tat samastam jagat tasmai shri guru murtaye namayidam shri dakshina murtaye. Whatever is in the field of these vrittis, it is registered and experienced by the mind, and thus the objective external world is experienced. The external world is experienced only because of vrittis. Vrittis are responsible for the subjective world in dream and the objective world in waking. Once the vrittis are dissolved, the world is not experienced. When the mind goes blank, the world may be much present, very much present, but it is not experienced. Vrittis are responsible for the world. Vrittis mean thoughts. Vrittis are responsible for the world that we experience. The threefold world, that is no world, internal world, and external world, are experienced because of vrittis. The thought part of the mind also functions by its association with Chitabhasa, the reflected consciousness, we already said. Thought associated with the reflected consciousness registers the absence of experience in deep sleep, activates the vasanas in dream, projecting an internal world of experience, and in waking, projects an external world of experience with the help of sense organs. So this is the analogy, this is the consequence, this is the system, how it is. Thought associated with the reflected consciousness registers the absence of experience in deep sleep. It activates the vasanas in dream, projecting an internal world of experience, and in waking state, projects an external world of experience with the help of sense organs. Now, when I make this statement, a doubt may come. One can say that the internal world is projected by the thought. Okay. But can one say that the external world is also projected by thought? This would mean that when the thoughts are not present, the world would become non-existent, isn't it? Can it mean when the thoughts are not present, the world would be non-existent? The external world is not projected by my thoughts, but it is created by the Lord already. External world already is there because of the creation by Lord, as Maya, whatever one can call. So the external world is not projected by my thoughts, but it is created by Lord already. So how can the author say then that the external world is created by my thoughts? World projection by one's thoughts is the subjective idealism of Buddhism, not in our system. World projection by one's thoughts is the subjective idealism of Buddhism. We mentioned some of these things during our Brahma Sutra discussions. Here the author seems to say that the external world is projected through the sense organs by thoughts. How are we to understand this? The external world is projected through the sense organs by thoughts. How to understand this? By making a difference between the Ishwara-created world and the thought-created world. That is how we should understand. The world, making a difference between the Ishwara-created world and the thought-created world. The Ishwara-created world, the former, that is Ishwara-srishti, and the later is Jiva-srishti. If you say thought-created world, it is Jiva-srishti. Ishwara-created world, it is Ishwara-srishti. Ishwara has created an external world already, but that external world does not create any problem for me. He has created the world already. It doesn't create a problem for me. Whereas when my thoughts perceive the external world, I hope this is very subtle. I hope you are with me. Ishwara has created an external world already, but that external world does not create any problem for me. It already is there. Whereas when my thoughts perceive the external world and I relate with the external world and develop then likes and dislikes, then that part of the world with which I develop ahankara and mamakara is capable of giving me joy or sadness, which is samsara. I hope you are with me. When my thoughts perceive the external world and I relate with the external world and develop likes and dislikes for the external world, then that part of the world with which I develop ahankara and mamakara, that is capable of giving me joy or sadness, which is called samsara. So the intrinsically non-hurting or non-pleasing objects of the world are the observed world, but the hurting or pleasing objects are the experienced world. Again, I will read the same thing again. The intrinsically non-hurting or non-pleasing objects of the world, intrinsically, are the observed world. But the hurting or pleasing objects are the experienced world by me. So the observed world is the Ishwara Srishti, and the experienced world is the result of converting Ishwara Srishti into objects of pleasure and pain. By my srishti of the world, by my thoughts. So this conversion happens because of two factors, ahankara and mamakara, which is samsara. This ahankara and mamakara is samsara. Therefore, thoughts are responsible for the creation of the experienced world, and that experienced world is the creation of the vrittis, the thoughts of the jiva. Actually, Vidyaranya discusses this elaborately in Dvaita Viveka Prakaranam, in Panchadashi Darsha chapter, which is Dvaita Viveka Prakaranam. There it is discussed elaborately. I don't know when I'm going to do Panchadashi. Once I will do some time. So in this shloka, the author is talking about the jiva's creation, the experienced world, which is created by thought. Vritti janyam it is, created by the thoughts. Moksha is what? Is reducing the experienced universe into the observed universe by the elimination of ahankara and mamakara. So moksha is what? You still look at the same world. It reduced, the experienced world is now reduced to as an observed world. That's it. World does not cause any pain or sorrow to me. It just exists as an observed by the elimination of what? Ahankara and my mamakara and my ahankara. Then the relative pleasure and pain will go away. Now if you look at the words, antakarana vrittischa chitichayaikamagada vasana kalpayet swapne podekshai podekshai vishayan bahihi. So antakarana vrittischa. Antakaranam refers to the inner organs. Inner organs mean mind, actually. Which is inner organ actually normally refers to mind, intellect, and also chitta and ahankara, all these five, all four also. They are called antarindriyams. Which is itself but a modification of vritti only, this inner organ. Chitichaya aikyam. So this chitichaya aikyam. Chitichaya aikyam means identifying itself with the reflection, the chaya of consciousness. It imagines various ideas in the dream state. And the same inner organ, again as I told you, mind, buddhi, chitta, ahankara, identifying itself with the body, imagines objects external to itself. The body refers to all these sense organs and all that thing. Imagines objects external to itself in the waking state with respect to the sense organs. Agata means having attained that kind of condition, sapne, in dream. Vasanaha, all these ideas, kalpayet, it imagines. Whereas bodhe, in the waking state, then akshayhi, with respect to the sense organs, bahihi vishayate, the external objects, kalpayet, it imagines them. So what the inner organs do, the mind here, which is itself only a modification, there is a vritti. Because I'm talking about the vritti part of it now. Identifying itself with the reflection of consciousness, it imagines various ideas in the dream. And the same inner organ, the same the mind, identifying itself with the body, imagines objects external to itself in the waking state with respect to the sense organs. So, a jnani is described actually by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, 12th chapter. He says, Adveshta sarva bhutanam maitra karuna evacha nirmamo nirahankaraha samadukka sukakakshami. The jnani is whom? He is free from mind, nirmamaha, nirahankaraha, free from I notion. Same in comfort as well as discomfort. Sama dukkha sukha kshami and forbearing kshami. So Vedanta is not an academic exercise, but an intellectual transformation. Which should change my perspective such that even my own relations should be seen as Ishvara's property. There is nothing like my son, my wife, my daughter, my friend. They are all Ishvara's property. Vedanta is not an academic exercise, but an intellectual transformation. Which should change my perspective such that even my own relationships, whom I have been there for years and years, that should be seen as Ishvara's property. This freedom from I and mine, that should be attained. This is the only option for revelation. This freedom from I and mine is the only option for liberation. Removing ahankara and mamakara by seeing everything as Ishvara's property is the only method for liberation. Removing the ahankara and mamakara by seeing everything as Ishvara's property is the only method for liberation. Later we will also talk about Ishvara and all that thing in a different sense. But at the moment, this is what author says, that seeing everything as Ishvara's property is the method for liberation. So that ahankara and mamakara will go away. It's already 9:29. So if I take the next shloka, it will take maybe another 10 minutes or so. So I will leave it now. Shloka number 12. I wanted to cover shloka 12 also today, but we will do it in the next week. Yo vedadau swara prokto vedante cha pratishtitaha tasya prakriti linasya yaparasa maheshwaraha. Sri Krishna. All right.